book and that we might understand it. I ask that the Spirit of God would give us understanding. I ask that you'd give Jay and Ash safe traveling. And I pray that you'd just bless our time now. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Ephesians 3. Okay, remember Paul is in jail. So the first three chapters are dealing with a doctrinal issue of salvation. Okay, so it's similar to Romans, where Romans 1 through 5 is a real deep doctrinal study of justification and imputed righteousness. And then 6, 7, and 8, he gets into sanctification. And then 12 through 16, he gets into practical everyday living ideas. Okay, in Ephesians, you got the first three chapters where he gets into the doctrinal issue of salvation, just like Romans. And then 4, 5, and 6, he gets in the practical aspect. So the first three chapters would be in parallel to the first and great commandment, love the Lord thy God. And then the last three chapters are in parallel to love thy neighbor as thyself. And so that's the practical aspect, general overview. In verse 8, Paul is reminding us that God is giving him something that God has hid, kept secret for 4,000 years. And Paul is the one that God chose to give the secret to. Okay, and it's about the mystery of the body of Christ. So 3 verse 8, unto me who am less than least of all saints is this grace given. This is not salvation by grace. It's a God's grace given to him in order to that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Okay, if you would try chapter 1 verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Chapter 2, verse 7, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So I think he wants to get something across to us. Okay, now this is obviously spiritual riches. And then in chapter 3, verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Okay, so in verse 8, is this grace given? Okay, now I have a message that I preach about the grace of God, and it's usually the very first message I preach whenever I go to a church, first time I preach. That's usually the one. And the first part of it is salvation by grace, and the second part is living by grace. Okay, where if you take the word grace, okay, if you drop the G, you have a race. If you drop the R, you got an ace. And so the positive aspect of grace is God giving you and I the ability to run the race that God gives us and finish in first place. That's the positive aspect. The negative aspect is the ability to put up with anyone or anything with peace in your heart. Okay, and that means that nobody should ruin your day. Okay, Haman, you know, I don't get these people in our country. The Black Lives Matter movement. I was listening to Rush yesterday, and he said that was started by three lesbians. So I got online and looked, and he was right. Well, Rush is right 99.8% of the time. At least that's what he says. I shouldn't have questioned them. But can you imagine that three lesbians started Black Lives Matter? Okay, but Where in the world can somebody like LeBron James make the money he makes but this country? Unbelievable. Why is the guy complaining? He ought to be kissing the ground of America. The opportunities that they have. And they're screaming equality of outcome. Who would watch the NBA if they had equality of outcome? Okay, one team is smoking the other team by 20 points. That right at the last second, they add 20 points to the losing team, so it ends in a tie. Every game is equality of outcome, ends in a tie. Who would watch that? That's what they're expecting. Without the effort. And that's like the 12 spies that went into the land of Canaan, where two looked and believed the doctrinal promises and over and looked at the opportunities and God rewarded them. 10 looked at the opportunities, became a victim, and God ignored them. God helps those who help themselves. Okay, and so here we have the unsearchable riches of Christ, and in our culture, you have opportunities. That's amazing. Now, that doesn't mean that if you work hard and everything, that somebody's not going to wrong you. That just is going to show your character, is what that's going to do. So it talks about the unsearchable riches of Christ. This is given to the Gentiles in verse 8. And in verse 9, and to make known, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Okay, what is the fellowship of the mystery? If you go back to chapter 2, verse 14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, hath broken down the middle wall of partition. Okay, the fellowship of verse 9, the greatest unifier between different cultures or different races is the Lord Jesus Christ. So why is that true? It's because it is rooted in a voluntary choice. That's why it's true. When the force is pushed on you and I to, quote, have equality of outcome, that is freedom from choice. Where God gives us freedom of choice. And so this is where the fellowship comes in play, is where different cultures can fellowship because Jesus Christ has broken down the partition. Why? Because each of us would freely choose the Lord Jesus Christ, and then he becomes a common denominator. But these people don't want Jesus Christ in a mix. Hence, it's a natural thing for the races to fight, yell and scream, and look at our differences and to just want to kill each other over it. That's why in Acts 17, in verse 26, the Christians today, and this Black Lives Matter movement, it is being propelled by white millennials. That's who's pushing it. I feel guilty. Do you feel guilty about slavery? I don't. I've never enslaved somebody. None whatsoever. Why should I feel guilty? You know, and the thing is get over it. I like what one black guy said. He was just hounding at these black guys. This one black guy kept saying, "You've been on a plantation, boy? You've been on a plantation? You've been on a plantation? Then shut up." And there are some blacks that are very intellectual thinking this thing through. Larry Elder's come out with Uncle Tom. It's a documentary. Boy, that will educate a lot of people. Very articulate man. You see, what's happened in our country is a form of tribalism where one tribe is pitted against another and the devil's in the corner laughing because we're pitting it against each other. It's like two piglets on Mama Sow. And one piglet's biting at the other piglet because he's trying to get, and neither one get anything because they're fighting. Ignore that. Just get to the faucet. You know? I mean, she's got plenty of them there. And so this is a destruction of our country, and the devil's in the corner getting a big kick out of the fight because he's the one who started it. So in verse 9, we have a fellowship. Our fellowship is rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. In this context, what makes it mysterious is the mystical body of Christ, where we're all one in Christ. This is an answer to the Lord's Prayer in the famous Lord's Prayer in John 17, where he prayed, Father, he said, that they may be one as we are one. I and you, you and me, they and me, and back and forth. And God answered that prayer in Acts 2 at Pentecost, where the Spirit of God put them all in the body of Christ, and then every single believer since then has been placed in that same body of Christ. That's the mystery that we are to be a faithful steward of. He says, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. This has been hid. And folks that try, the Baptists in particular, try to make the Old Testament the exact same as the New Testament back and forth. How can you make it the same when God hid this great truth for 4,000 years? The first one to get it is Paul. And then you show them about rightly dividing the word of truth, and then people are going to say, well, that began in the 1800s, the Danbury Baptist. Well, wait till we get into the millennium and discover things the Lord has kept hid for 7,000 years. No, the truth of rightly dividing the word of God was originated by the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 4. That's where it started. So he has here in verse 9, it's hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So at the birth or conception of each and every one of us, God programmed the DNA in each and every one of us. And so you are uniquely you. God destroyed the mold. Why would you want to be equal with somebody? That would be inequality. Somebody who's demanding equality feels inferior because they're a victim. And so the Lord has made each of us, the Bible promotes an individuality of us as our culture, our nation, is began to protect the individual, the rights of the individual. You don't want to get in a group per se, black rights, women rights, gay rights. That's nothing but tribalism. It's a form of Nazism. In 1933, Adolf Hitler assigned Hermann Göring, Minister of Interior, and they defunded the police so the police would not hinder the brown shirts. So the brown shirts could go out and riot and loot and beat people up to influence an election. Does that kind of sound a little familiar? And you call these people Nazis. How dare you? Well, you are doing the same thing that he did. And people say, well, that can't happen in America. Those German people are not dumb. 98% literate, those people are highly intelligent. If it could take place in Germany, it can take place anywhere. Especially with internet and cell phones and in this age of deception. Deception is so easy. The first and only time I watched that George Floyd video, I just looked, terrible actors. What a hoax. That whole thing was faked. I'm of the belief that if there is a George Floyd, that if there is one, he's probably somewhere enjoying the riches of his deception. And people are running around screaming about justice, committing unjust acts. That don't make sense. But the devil's kingdom never makes sense. A narcissist doesn't make sense. These leftists, they make no sense, they don't make no logic. They're going to run and hide in a hole because the world revolves around them. So it's created all things by Jesus Christ. Another thing the Lord created by Jesus Christ is when you got born again, he created a new man. That's a continual creation. You'll see that in chapter 4, verse 24. Wow, what a thing. You're a child of the king. You are royal blood. That is quite a position. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. He does that for every child of God at the moment you got born again. Created by the breath of his mouth. Breathed in the eternal breath of Christ. Where in John 3:15, he gives us eternal life. In John 3:16, he gives us everlasting life. Now, why would he give both of them? Are they different? Well, everlasting is because we each had a beginning. And so we had a beginning, but there's no ending, everlasting. But eternal because we've been placed in Christ, hence there's no beginning or no ending. We got to go both covered. What a gift. So then in verse 10, as he keeps going down with the sentence, okay, the sentence runs from 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, okay, in 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Okay, what principalities and powers is he talking about? Well, he mentions this in chapter 6, verse 12. Now, because you and I are stuck in flesh, we're stuck in a natural body, most of us just look at things through the natural body, and we look at, you know, politicians or whatnot, just in the natural body, but we're not considering the behind the scenes, the invisible moving of spirits to influence people. And the thing that is our weaponry against those invisible spirits is spiritual weapons, the Word of God and prayer, and the blood of Christ. Ephesians 6 verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." Okay, now, flesh and blood is what people are usually arguing with. But we don't consider who caused this argument. Some little imp is in the corner getting a big kick out of this. He's the cause. And if both parties would recognize, where's this irritation coming from? You know, why am I irritated? Why am I thinking this? I don't have any evidence of this. You know, this is a plan the devil does it just continually, where husband and wife may be separated during the day, one going to work, one doing this, okay, and when they get ready to see each other, maybe in the evening, okay, the Lord, will, or not the Lord, but a devil will give her thoughts that, what's he been doing, what's he been looking at today? And the devil will give him thoughts. She'd probably been watching. Do they watch soap operas anymore? I don't even know if they watch soap operas anymore. She'd probably do. And so neither one has evidence, but yet they run it through their head. Now when they see each other, they're automatically mad. Who gave them the thoughts? Devils did. And when the thought is, you bring the thought into captivity of Christ, saying, first off, I don't have any evidence. If it's true, I can't do anything about it. If it's false, I can't do anything about it. So forget it. And so instead of a fist when he walks in the door, then you give him a big kiss. Okay, but yet when there's a fuss going on, if we had spiritual insight, if God would enlighten our eyes, we would probably see a little green Geico mascot in the corner causing the fight, getting a big kick out of it. So he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Okay, you can see the word inside there, principle. Principalities, against powers. against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Here it's high places. In verse 10 of chapter 3, it's heavenly places. So in heavenly places, the prince of the power of the air, that's where the spiritual activity is taking place, above us. The prince of the power of the air. And so when we pray, when we cleanse ourselves with the blood, we put on the whole armor of God, we place the hedge of thorns, all these things, these are ideas that will work against unclean spirits. Now in, I think it's 1 Thessalonians 5, I put a sample prayer that a person could pray for a party, a family member, co-worker, or whatnot. And this is often like in military strategy, often they'll send in the Air Force to drop the bombs to loosen everything up. And then the foot soldiers come in. So our prayers would be the Air Force going in. And then the foot soldier comes in where you speak. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, I have down in a footnote a prayer that a person can pray. It's at the bottom. A sample intercessory prayer is, I expose all enemies of Jesus Christ operative against, and you name the party. I sever you from Satan, any power above you. I remove your ability to afflict, hinder, or blind, and proclaim your judgment. I weaken you with the blood of Jesus Christ and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. I bind all unclean spirits and devils present together and declare the party loosed from your power. And I command you to go where Jesus Christ tells you to go by the voice of his Spirit. Okay, and if you pray for that party and pray for that party and pray that over and over, okay, and then possibly pray that the Lord gives you a divine appointment, I think you would have a better opening of declaring the word of God to them. Okay, but the devil will blind these people. And so if we could bind the spirits that are blinding them, then it's an opportunity where they can have a free choice. It's not meaning they're going to accept the choice, but at least they have that freedom to choose or reject. So that's a continual prayer. I would suggest to pray it out loud. Okay, if the party's at your house, I wouldn't pray it right in front of them. You know, I'd go into another room. The devil's got good hearing. And the words that we pray or speak have power. And so this would be giving that opportunity. And I often, what I pray is, Lord, I pray, it, let's say it's in a lost individual's situation, I pray that the gospel would become enticing to them. Where you could maybe put them sprinkles on top of the gospel, where they decide to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just to give them the freedom to accept or reject. It's not saying they're going to accept. That's a free choice. Okay, and you and I can't trick them to get saved. Okay, it's got to be a free choice, but at least it takes away the hindrance that's blinding them. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says that the gospel is hid from them. Sometimes you can, if you watch their eyes when you talk to people, you can see their eyes glass over. And what you've just seen is the manifestation of a devil. Blinding this party, they can't hear. They can't hear what you're saying. All they see is your lips moving, but it's not registering. It's a power. I tell you, when you see stuff like this, especially when you watch people's eyes, that right there is evidence that there's something going on. That this book is an amazing book. Okay, so in verse 10, you got principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. Now, many of these things we accept by faith. I have never seen anything. God has never enlightened mine eyes to it. He has some people on occasion. He hasn't for me. I know of a fellow that Sneblin knew that this guy felt it was his ministry to go around the world and pray in certain locations. Okay, and this guy claims that he could actually hear stuff going on so that he would pray. And he was led to a certain area. He didn't know why, but he was led to this area to pray. And while he's praying, he can hear children crying out. Okay, and then he went down to the village and was kind of asking about the area. In that location is where there were child sacrifices in the past. And doesn't the Bible say their blood cries out? Okay, now, most of us don't hear that. You know, because that's in the spirit world. So that's a rare thing that the Lord would show that to some. So these are the principalities and the powers. And then in verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the purpose of Christ Jesus is to glorify the Father. And so these are weaponry or knowledge that you and I can gain in order to glorify Jesus Christ. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence. Okay, so what's our confidence? I come boldly to the throne of grace to ask for that Cadillac, you know, or all this, you know, health and wealth, that airplane. Kenny Copeland wants a big airplane. So, no, he's not talking about that. He's talking, we can come boldly to the throne of grace to find grace and mercy to help in time of need. And this we come boldly, but we come boldly by the faith of Him, the Lord Jesus. Okay, so then in verse 13, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. That's strange. Don't faint at my tribulations. Okay, now any parent understands this, that if your child is going through something, it hurts you just as bad as it hurts them because you're feeling it with them. And Paul is saying his tribulation, what tribulation? Well, he's in jail. And he says, my tribulation of me in jail is for your glory. Because God's going to give you the blessings through this. And then in verse 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, one sentence. This is the second great prayer or outline of prayer in Ephesians. The first one is back in chapter 1, runs from verse 15 to 23. Okay, this one you have like four parts to it, or four goals, I guess you could say. So it says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so that's generally the thought process in the New Testament where a good position in prayer is on our knees. In the Old Testament, they stood. But when Solomon prayed for the dedication of the temple, he started off standing and eventually he ended up on his knees. So Paul is praying. And then it says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Okay, in this context, singular heaven. So that would be probably the third heaven where the family of God is located. And then here's the intentions of this prayer or the request. So verse 16, you have that. Verse 17, that. In the middle, that. Okay, so you got three of them there. 18, don't see anything. 19, in the middle of 19, that. So those four that's would be the outline of this prayer or the intentions. That, verse 16, he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. So we admit, I mentioned that before about the riches of his glory. To be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. So the Spirit of God is what gives us inner strength to fulfill the will of God. That's a prayer we pray. Okay, so the first one is praying for grace that you might learn the Scriptures. The second one is you're praying for grace that you might live the Scriptures. And then the second aspect, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Now, this is probably the only passage where you could come up with the idea to ask Jesus in your heart. Okay, now, that's an idea that was back in the 60s with child evangelism. Okay, and granted, you know, okay, you can ask Jesus into your heart. Technically, this is the only thing, but it's really not dealing with salvation here. But thank God that he reads the heart. Okay, where a child that prays that, but yet they're placing their faith in Christ. Okay, the Lord is reading that heart. It's not what we pray that saves. It's our faith in Jesus Christ that saves. Like the thief on a cross. What is it? Oh, remember me when I'll come into thy kingdom. That's not the sinner's prayer per se. Okay, but that was a gospel for his day, the gospel of the kingdom. So the Lord reads that heart. There's some folks that are so adamant about this. Well, you got to do it this way. You got to hold your hands this way. You got to get on your knees. You got to cry. You got to repent. You got to this. I mean, man, if you got to do all that stuff, man, I'm lost as a goose in a horse race. Well, I'm already lost because Steve Anderson says that anybody who listens to Ruckman's lost. So okay, I'm lost. You know, but no, I you know, when I got saved, I really don't know who witnessed to me. Okay, my brother got in trouble, and so Dad said, "Oh, we need to read a Bible." And I got under conviction. And somebody at school said something to me. And I came home, ran up to my bedroom all by myself, got on my knees, and trusted the Lord. Remember that? Just like plain as day. I don't remember who talked to me. I'm looking forward to find out who it was in heaven. And boy, my conscience became alert. And I started confessing all my sins to my mother, and she thought I was going nuts. I was a little kid. Mom, I did this. And all that stuff. Man, the Lord enlightened my spirit. Okay? And so, you know, nobody told, you know, did anybody tell me about repentance? I don't know. Hell, I don't know. I just know that I needed Jesus Christ. And that's what the Ethiopian eunuch, all he knew. Philip preached unto him, Jesus. And then he said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God with all my heart. So the Lord here, now here is Christ dwelling in our hearts by faith. So this is the inner Christ living through us. And it's a prayer, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Okay, in whose love? That's God's love, rooted and grounded in his love, may be able to comprehend with all saints. Notice, I like how he said, may be able. Like our finite mind, our mortal mind, is going to be able to comprehend the deep love of God, the breadth, length, depth, height. Okay, now our word for breadth is width. Okay, but you have breadth, length, depth, height. So that is, four parts to it. So trying to figure out that. Wow. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Wow, that's something. And to rest in that love. Okay, in this day and age, the way things are running, boy, people are going here, going there, looking for love, and they're not finding it anywhere. It's only found in Jesus Christ. And then it says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So this, This chapters 1, 2, and 3 is dealing with a doctrinal issue of salvation. And then from here on out, he's going to deal with the practical. So this would be our paralleled with our love for God and God's love for us. And then 4 and following would be paralleled with our love to our neighbor. And then in a family relationship. Okay, so that's chapter 4 and following. Okay, we'll stop there.